What's going on, guys? This is Mega Ran, and today, I quit something. It was something that was important to me, but unfortunately, it was not something that was going where I wanted it to go, and ultimately, it didn't really align with where I saw myself going in the future, if that makes sense. We're always told, growing up, that winners never quit, and quitters never win. That's bull. Who is it, Kenny Rogers that said, you gotta know when to hold them, know when to fold them? That's real talk. Eric Barker says, if you never quit anything, you're gonna have less time for the things that actually matter in your life. You should always quit. Think about your job, your work situation that you hate. You should always think about an exit. Why not? Don't be afraid to. It could actually be the best thing for you at that time. And most people don't get that. For a lot of reasons. People are often working towards the wrong goals to begin with. Even if a goal was a good fit at one time, it might not be an appropriate fit a few years later. If I never quit anything, I'd still be playing with G.I. Joes, playing street football, or tag on the block. You know what I mean? 2011, I wrote a line that says, they asked Rand, why'd you quit? I said, it quit me first. Throughout history, I've always had the fantasy of telling my boss off and strutting off of a job site, George Jefferson style, arms flapping and all. But my mom told me better than that. I always give a notice. You never know when you might need a recommendation or if a future position might open. So it's important to keep a good rapport with the people you work with. I've held a bunch of jobs in my life, most of them unfulfilling, but each gave me a different perspective on life and the workforce. During college, I worked at Boston Market one summer. I had the disgusting task of dishwasher, which involved scraping baked-in chicken guts off of the rotating spits in the back with an ice scraper and a high-powered water hose. It was by far the most gross thing I've ever done for money. Between scraping spits, we had to wash all the serving trays and dishes. One Friday night was rougher than most. We got slammed hard by a never-ending crew of customers, and I had a mountain of dishes to clean in the back with no help. The new manager screamed and screamed at me because he had to get up early the next morning to take his kid to college, and I, the lowly, slowpoke dishwasher, was keeping him from going home. His yelling didn't make me speed up. In fact, it probably slowed me down a bit. Eventually, he came over, grabbed some dishes, and started busting suds right along with me. I wonder if he had had a breakthrough moment, because it was like one of those after-school special scenes. We could have shared a smile, maybe plucked the soap sud off each other, and laughed while some special value flashed across the screen, like teamwork. In truth, though, he just angrily splashed as he washed dishes at breakneck speed because he wanted to get out of there. That night, I learned that yelling at people never solves anything. That became pretty valuable in my teaching career. We finished at 10:45 p.m., way later than we were supposed to get out of there. I always tried to work in the suburbs so I wouldn't have to deal with the inner city element, but that meant I had to catch buses late at night and walk through some unsavory neighborhoods on the way home. The 22 bus had a really long route. It ran straight to the suburban Willow Grove Mall, a shopping center about 45 minutes from the center of the city, so the bus didn't run really late. If you were waiting for a mall bus after 10 p.m., you were waiting for a miracle. If you were waiting for a mall bus after 11, you might as well forget it. I took the time to thank the new manager for helping me with the dishes before throwing my coat on and running outside to catch the bus. I made it outside just in time to see the rear of the 22 bus as it rumbled by. I jogged about a quarter of a block, or as much as I could keep up, with desperation in my eyes, but my efforts were futile. You know, Ludacris makes a great point in that movie Crash. Do you ever wonder why city buses have such huge windows? Is it so people can see you on the bus humiliating yourself? Or so bus riders can get a small bit of humor by watching the idiots who run for the bus? Both? No one knows. In my case, I sat at the bus stop, dejected and even a little scared. I had no idea when the next bus was coming. I rubbed my hands together to warm up, cursing myself for taking so long on these dishes. And then guess who rolled up to the stoplight playing 80s rock and roll? That's right, it was my manager. He had come to save the day, and to give me a ride to the bus depot where I could at least catch another bus and maybe get home in a reasonable hour after midnight. Bless this man. At least, that's what I thought. I even got up and started walking towards his car. Something funny happened, though. The light turned green, and he pulled off as if he was shot out of a cannon. Vroom! His tires even screeched. All that this scene needed was for his car to maybe ride through a puddle and like splash me, and it would have been a classic, classic moment. I got home around 1 a.m. that morning and had to get back to work the next morning by 8. So the next day, I called in and I quit over the phone. I can't blame that manager entirely, but the job wasn't for me. I enjoyed the food, but honestly, I just wasn't ready to be humiliated for a few bucks. Maybe it was my cockiness. I don't know. I quit, got my last check, feeling almost proud of this decision that I'd made. Quitting was my way of trying to make them pay for their treatment of me, not knowing that they were just going to hire somebody else and keep going on with their business. I quit teaching in a less spectacular but equally explosive fashion. The gears started turning on a January afternoon in 2011 after a weekly staff meeting. During this meeting, a teacher brought to our attention that a student who had graduated the previous year was having some difficulty getting accepted to community college. She was told that her high school diploma wasn't enough for community college. Mr. Daniels, our principal, answered the query quickly and clearly.
Oh, that's because we're not accredited here. We don't actually give out high school diplomas.
My face must have said, what the f-? Because Mr. Daniels turned to me and said,
Mr. Jarbo, do you have a question?
Yeah. So we teach to the state standards, and we don't give these kids enough to get into community college. Is that correct?
I might have gotten a little loud.
Another teacher interjected.
Actually, we don't even teach to the state standards. We don't teach a foreign language or a science lab at this school.
Mr. Daniels felt validated by this tidbit.
Yeah. Most of our students, they speak fluent Spanish, so we don't need to offer them language courses.
One problem with that, I interjected. This student in question is an African-American student. She's not an ESL student. I felt Mr. Daniels' heated gaze on me, so I turned to the rest of the teachers, hoping to gain their support, and I continued. So let me get this straight. Our school does not give students the tools they need to go to the next level. Got it. I sat down and I tapped my pencil on the table. I had to be doing 120 beats a minute. Silence fell over the room. I imagine myself as that girl's parent getting the news that after 12th grade graduation, my kid couldn't go to college. Not even community college. Not because of her grades, but because the school did not give her what she needed to be accepted. Maybe she can go to a real high school now, I asked in a lower tone. Okay, sorry, Mr. D, I'll be quiet. After that, I knew my days were numbered. Not long after that day, like clockwork, an album I made called Black Materia started gaining some traction and popularity online. It was an album I made all about my favorite video game, Final Fantasy VII. I was asked to play more gigs. I was asked to go on more tours. It was time to start thinking about the next step. I started planning my exodus from day job life into a career as a full-time musician. Without a label or manager, I had no idea where to turn. I put extra effort into the work I was already doing, so I sent more emails than usual about show bookings. While working on the best way to break the news of my departure to my school and my students, I started getting more emails and calls than ever before asking me to come out and play shows. I would just call out sick, but I was running out of sick days at work, so something had to give. I was reminded of my ex telling me that I should get serious about a music career. She'd wonder how long I was gonna mess around with this little rap thing, she called it. I knew that this was the beginning of something big. I was about to mess around and change my surroundings, just because people like her had told me I couldn't. As of course, my mom, she didn't like it. Never quit a job without another one lined up. And even then, never burn a bridge. So, on a Monday morning in March, I typed up a resignation letter and I handed it to my principal. That letter said that in 2 weeks, I'd be stepping away from my duties to chase a wild music dream. I thanked him for the guidance and the work experience that he provided. He shook my hand and said he understood and was thankful that I let them know in advance. I returned to class and taught my students as I would have done any other day. I wouldn't be leaving for another 2 weeks, so I had time to tell them the story slowly, maybe over a pizza party or something. But you know what they say, man plans, God laughs. In this case, it was my principal who got the last laugh. The story I detailed briefly in the song Laughing At You is this one. My principal arrived in my classroom at the end of that same day. He thought since I was leaving in 2 weeks that it was time to get an early start on the inventory and checkout process for employees. We sat after school for 3 hours and counted every single textbook in the class and every key I had. I didn't understand why he wanted to do this now when I still had 2 more weeks, but I'd get it soon enough. After this tedious counting process, Mr. Daniels prepared to leave the room and then stopped short and said, "Oh yeah," as if he had just remembered something. He said, "Remember that day last week that you had to call out for a gig?" I nodded. "Yeah, so I need you to sign a paper just saying that I talked to you about it and gave you a warning. You know, due diligence." "Okay," I said as I signed the form. "See you tomorrow." Mr. D had other plans. "Actually, Mr. Jarbo, I have another piece of paper for you." And in the smoothest of magic tricks, Mr. Daniels removed the top sheet of paper, exposing a second sheet of paper, which was a termination letter. That's right. He had decided that I didn't need to wait 2 weeks to get started on my new life, and he let me go, effective immediately. Case closed. My heart dropped. That explained the counting out, the keys, the whole process. I was fired on the day that I tried to resign. It's like the petty end of a relationship going sour. You can't quit me because I quit you first. I didn't have a moment to speak to my students as they were already gone for the day. No final goodbye, no movie, no pizza party. I was out of there. "Well, at least you get an early start on your new career," he said with a smile as he packed his files up. "Thank you. Best of luck, Mr. Jarbo." Slam. To make the worst day of school even worse, Mr. Daniels let me know as I prepared to leave that report cards were due at the end of that week. I told him, "Sir, with all due respect, I don't work here anymore." But Mr. D had me by the grapes. "Yes, but in order to receive your final paycheck, you must complete any outstanding paperwork, blah, blah, blah. Please bring those report cards in by Friday or else." So I was screwed. My perfect plan for quitting required me to get one more paycheck, of course, so I could save this nest egg before I took the nesty plunge. And I couldn't go on a tour because I had to get these report cards done. I had to grade an entire milk crate of exams this week, or I don't even get the paycheck that I already worked for. This sucks. I sat in the classroom for another 30 minutes thinking, and I came up with a plan. I was now out of work and without a security blanket, and my plans had to change quickly. An amazing twist of fate. In the same week, I got 2 important phone calls and offers. One was from former Phoenix radio personality turned entrepreneur Carly Hustle, asking if I would be interested in taking over her music business class at Phoenix College a few days a week. It was decent money and the opportunity to not only teach adults, but to teach them something they wanted to learn. I found the idea very intriguing. I considered it for a week until I got the second call and offer, which ultimately changed my life. The second call was from MC Chris, always stylized as lowercase, no dots, a nerd rap pioneer. He's planning a huge 2011 tour to promote his upcoming album. His fans have voted for me to open for him. Chris called me and made the offer of a lifetime.
"Hey man, you wanna go on tour with me?"
He actually does talk like that, I'm not making fun of him. The plan, I accepted. We had to do 45 dates in 54 days, 30 minutes a night in front of sold out crowds. More important than any of the money, I have the potential to make the fans that will keep the Mega Ranch ship going for maybe another 5, 6, 7, 10, 20 years. It was a no-brainer. I thanked Carly for the opportunity and suggested another friend who still does teach that music business class. I don't know what I would have done without that opportunity, but there was still one issue that needed to be resolved. Friday came and report cards were due. I was so anxious and worried that I hadn't graded any of these papers that I took home, so I decided to fight petty with petty. I pulled out my trusted black ink pen and I gave every single one of my 7th and 8th grade reading and social studies students the same exact grade. A plus. Straight down the line. A plus, A plus, A plus. I gave them out like Oprah. Dropped the report cards off at the school, and I promptly began the first day of the rest of my life. Saw the country, took that tour. I'm glad I did. Thanks for listening, y'all.